Good morning. Brother Rudd had talked much more. I probably wouldn't be able to speak this morning. I remember those days and how good God was, even though it was a time of trial and trusting and wonder how it's going to go and what God's going to do. And we know what God has done. Amen. And we have a great God. Appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. Dr. Reeser made me aware when he asked me about speaking today, the crowd would be low, and that's okay. Last time I spoke here, we had a packed out church, so something's happened in between. Anyway, I thank God for you. I thank God for the memories that I have of pastoring here and worshiping here and knowing most of, I guess I've known everybody here for quite a few years now, except the smaller ones, and I'm learning to know them too. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin reading at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the primary concern today is verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I remember the time when we did not have electricity in the country in Saluda County where I grew up. And I remember when they did finally get some electricity in the little country house we lived in. And we never had a television, but we did finally get a radio. And we'd sit around on Saturday evening to listen to the Grand Ole Opry from Nashville, Tennessee. I remember hearing these two comedians talk, and one said to the other, What would you do if you had all the money in the world? And the guy answered, I'd pay it all my debts as far as it would go. And of course, in recent days, we've heard a lot of talk about the lottery. And some may become millionaires and billionaires. And you've probably heard some of the conversations on TV. What would you do if you were to win the lottery and get all this money? And I didn't hear anybody say they'd give any to God. But they had all these grandiose plans if they could just win the lottery. But if you could win the lottery and publishers clearinghouse, sweepstakes, and all those things that purport to give away, I mean, bunches and bunches of money, and yet you didn't do the right thing with your soul, in the end you would be a loser. Amen? What does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, the truth is, everybody here has a soul. We might even be able to say everybody here is a soul. Our soul is separate from our physical body, our tangible body. And Jesus' concern was more about the soul than he was about the body. And so he asked this very, very important question. What good would it do if you could claim all the riches of the world, but yet you died in your sins and went to torment forever and ever and ever and ever? In Ezekiel 18:4, God says, Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Isaiah 55, verse 3, God says, "Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." So we can sin and die, or we can come to God and ask for forgiveness, and our soul shall live forever in heaven. James says, if we win somebody to Christ, we will save a soul from death or from sin, and they can have everlasting life. A couple things I'd like to suggest to help us to understand how really valuable each of our souls are. We need some kind of a measuring stick to be able to have some idea of how much our soul is worth. So the first question I ask you today is, how much is your soul worth measured by the love of God? Have you ever really stopped to think how much God loves you, and He loves me, and He loves everybody? God doesn't like sin, He doesn't like ugly, but He loves every soul. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Recite with me John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And so based upon how much God loves you and He loves me, how much are our souls worth? The Bible simply says in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So how much is your soul worth to God? Based upon how much He loves you and cares for you. Secondly, how much is your soul worth measured by the length of eternity? I don't want to appear to be a smarty aleck this morning, but if anybody here could stand up and tell me how long eternity is going to be, I'd be happy to sit down and listen to you. To say that the eternity has no beginning and no end doesn't tell us how long it's going to be. To say that it's interminable doesn't tell us how long eternity is going to be. But ever how long eternity is, that's how long our souls will be, either with God or with the devil. And so based on that, I think our soul must be awfully valuable to God. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that doth inhabit eternity, whose name is holy." Evidently, eternity is going to be so long that only God could fill it up. High and lofty one that doth inhabit eternity. I think the best illustration I've ever read so far concerning the length of eternity was written by Billy Sunday. Of course, Billy Sunday was a famous baseball player. He was a great baseball player. He got converted. He put down his ball and glove and started preaching. And Billy Sunday said, in trying to describe how long eternity was going to be, that if it were possible for a little tiny bird to take one grain of sand from planet Earth and fly off to some far distant place, it would take the little bird 1 million years to go and 1 million years to come back and get another grain of sand. And if that little bird could hold out to move the whole planet Earth, it would just be getting breakfast time in eternity. I'd say that's a very long time, wouldn't you? But ever how long eternity will be, your soul will be. And so I think based upon that, your soul and my soul is extremely important to God. Worth a whole lot more than winning the lottery and the publishing clearinghouse sweepstake and those things I've already mentioned. Eternity is, I'd say, immeasurable as far as our human understanding is concerned. I'll put it this way, ever how long God shall be, eternity will be. And just that long our souls shall be. So the important thing is, have we taken care to make sure that we've been born again, that we're going to spend eternity in heaven and not in a devil's hell?